You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, I thought I'd start off our coffee conversation by talking about the out-of-control mayors in the United States, where we are having the vast majority of all of our riots, our chaotic behavior, our looting, our burning, our shootings, and our murders.
Is it true that most of these cities are run by Democratic mayors?
It is absolutely true. There is no doubt about it. It's not even close, Linda. So what I thought I'd do is just bring up some of the most famous cities that we're hearing about all the time and their infamous mayors.
Okay.
Because those names are becoming more like celebrity status, okay, with regards to destruction of cities. So I thought I'd start out with Portland, Oregon. And the mayor for Portland is Ted Wheeler. If you remember, he kind of came to fame by being a big supporter of Antifa.
Yeah, and look where that's gotten him.
Well, it's gotten the city of Portland 56 days so far of rioting, of lootings, of shootings. They've had a few murders there, a destruction of their downtown. And, you know, if COVID isn't enough that's affecting all of these cities, Portland stands out as being a bastion of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Marxist revolutionaries, and anarchists.
Yes. And, you know, I have some very good business relationships in Portland, and I have some very good friends who live there. And, I mean, it's just terribly sad what's happening to that city. And the people in government there are just really doing not only nothing to help, they're kind of doing the opposite in that they're refusing help as well.
You're absolutely right. And it isn't just Ted Wheeler. It appears to be systemic with the city leadership. Let me give you a great example of someone who's been on the news very recently, and that's the Portland Fire Commissioner, Joanne Hardesty. Now, most recently, Hardesty has accused incredulously police officers for setting fires on purpose so that they have an excuse to attack the protesters, right? And she also accuses them of lying about the damage to the buildings and the businesses in downtown Portland. Okay, now I would encourage anybody that wants to have a great laugh to get on Google and go ahead and Google the Portland Fire Commissioner, Joanne Hardesty, and just take a look at that person and imagine, I guess the rhetorical question I want to ask is, seriously, this person's a fire commissioner? All right, my question is, how did she get hired? And what kind of fire science experience or firefighting experience or knowledge does she have to be appointed to be the fire commissioner? I mean, I was shocked when I saw that this woman was the fire commissioner.
Well, in Portland, that was the city that they also had, and it could have been her, I don't know, somebody standing up saying that, oh, the people that are infiltrating this movement here and the protesters are the police and the feds, and they're coming in to cause trouble and blame it on us. I mean, that was just crazy talk. So if anything, it's quite the reverse, is that they're trying to keep order, but there are a lot of people infiltrating all of these events from different places as well.
Oh, great. Yeah. And you're right. And I mean, fair is fair. You know, when I wrote my very popular book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, seventh printing, give myself a little plug for that. I told everybody in that book, look, the leaders, the founders, the major organizers of the Black Lives Matter movement are absolute avowed Marxists. They don't even hide it. There's plenty of videos. There's plenty of articles. There's plenty of speeches that they've given. There's plenty of interviews. And by the way, none of the founding members or chief organizers or chapter presidents of Black Lives Matter have ever refuted anything I ever said in the book. That being said, I also said, and I think it was like in the final chapter, putting everything in perspective, that there are honest, liberal people that believe that there is a civil rights problem in the United States. They believe that there is excessive force being used disproportionately by police officers, even though the whole book talks about what a false narrative that is. But they're innocent people, okay? They're just people that believe that they want to do good for their community and do good for society. But the entire group of those people have absolutely been taken hostage by the violence and the Marxist rhetoric by the Black Lives Matter movement.
Oh, they absolutely have. And the reason that people are all falling into it is, as usual, nobody's researching what the organization really is. The name just sounds good and they think it means one thing. That's really not what they stand for. So, like, you're right. People, and probably a lot of good people, are being hijacked by this movement, but that is their aim to do so. So to go back to Wheeler, why is he such a disaster in Portland?
Well, for a variety of reasons. Actually, I was going to circle back around to Wheeler. Could we wait for just a couple of minutes? Because I want to talk about the other ones. And then I want to circle back around to Wheeler because that's a great conversation to have, because I will answer your question, because it typifies one of the major problems that I've identified, that there is the thread that is woven through all these mayors and all these cities where we have this violence. So the next person that I want to talk about is Lori Lightfoot. And we've had a number of coffee conversations about Ms. Lightfoot. And the chaos and the out of control crime in the city of Chicago is, I believe it's going to clearly overshadow statistically the level of violence and homicides that it had in 2017, 2016 and 2017, which were its greatest years as far as the amount of violence and the amount of homicides, well over 800 homicides. And 94 to 96% every single week that I track the statistics, and I've given the statistics every week on Talking While Matter.
Married.
Let's see, I'm getting my Black Lives Matter and Talking While Married all confused. But suffice it to say, about 94 to 96% historically people of color. So people of color shooting other people of color. And I think just the other day, I gave a statistic just from this past weekend, that just from the beginning of July, they've shot and killed 124 times just in this 1 week more people of color than the police have. And if you go back to the beginning of the year, since January 1, 524 times more people of color shooting other people of color in the city of Chicago than police shooting people of color.
Well, and just as you and I are sitting here having coffee this evening, 100 people in the last 5 days in Chicago have been shot. 100 people in 5 days.
And you know, they had that funeral.
15 people there.
Just amazing.
In fact, it might have gone up. Yeah.
Just amazing. Just in one incident alone. I mean, how many active shooter situations do we have where they'll kill five or six people? And it's international news. But in one weekend, and actually in one incident, you can shoot 14 people,
15 people, yeah.
And there's not a peep.
Yeah, it might have gone up to 16 or 17, I thought I saw. But either way, they weren't a great shot because I don't think anybody has died. However, there are people very critically injured from that shooting. But
you know what I want to talk about? This is typical. So Lightfoot blames this rise in crime on COVID.
But they have to blame it on something. And by the way, Lori Lightfoot, and you can call me a Karen if you'd like, but...
By the way, maybe some of our listeners and followers don't know what that name refers to. That's actually a racist term used by some Black people, activists, to...
disparage white women.
White women.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're called Karen.
Yes.
So yeah, we have to change the name of our daughter.
Oh, I know. So So she called Kaylee McEnany a Karen, and I just find the rhetoric from our politicians so despicable. So if she wants to call me that, I'm okay with it, but that woman is out of control, and she is, her city was out of control before COVID ever entered her city. So the problem that we have in Chicago has been longstanding. Correct. And listen, we love Chicago and love the people there, and just have had some of the most wonderful memories and times
and
in
meals
Chicago.
And meals. My God, if you want some good food, Chicago's the place to go.
Rosebuds. However, I would not be going there right now, which is a shame. It's a shame for them. It's a shame for me. But either way, they need to get a handle on it. And she does not want to accept federal help because she thinks it will help President Trump. So we've talked about this before, that as a mayor, you would let your people die before you accept help from the president.
Now, hold on to that bit of thunder, because we're going to circle back around that. So let me name very quickly just a few other of the mayors and some of the problems. So New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, and of course the whole defunding thing of over $1 billion with the NYPD.
Right, we can talk a lot about Bill.
He's constantly at odds with the NYPD, the police commissioner. He's at odds with the police commissioner. The former police commissioner, Bernie Kerik, recently just took de Blasio on, and, you know, I mean, and I think very appropriate. And by the way, I don't happen to be a big fan of Bernie Kerik, but appropriately, he took Bill de Blasio on and hit the nail right on the head. So Seattle's mayor, Jenny Durkin.
Yes.
And remember, so we had the autonomous zone there.
The CHOP zone, and actually it was just a summer of love and a kind of like a block party.
Well, actually it was two months of systemic violence and consistent violence, and we had a couple of people that were murdered there, both people of color, in the CHOP zone. It's just ridiculous. And then we've got Oakland's mayor, Libby Scharf, and by the way, her house was just vandalized, and I saw the pictures of her house. So, you know, Black Lives Matter. Here, this person is extremely liberal, this mayor. And another, she started out with wanting to defund the police, but then literally on the eve, which was just the other night, of the big vote to defund the Oakland Police Department, she cast a deciding vote against defunding the department. But the night before the vote, they hit her house.
Okay, now this is the second time that you and I have talked about this, but the other was with a different mayor in, I think it was in Oregon or Washington, I don't remember. It was a different mayor. The same situation where everything was great and no problem with the protesting, no problem with the graffiti, no problem with the vandalism until they did it to her house.
Oh, that was Seattle's mayor.
And
okay,
no, so it wasn't Seattle's mayor.
Are you sure it wasn't Jenny Durkin?
It was not Jenny Durkin.
Okay.
It was a smaller city outside of there.
Okay.
But everything was fine until it happened to her. And that is what I've said, is this is what they need. They need it to happen to them so they can see how we all feel when these things happen. Because then when they need a cop, they're not going to have one there. And, you know, this is how America feels. I don't want to feel that way.
No, you're exactly right. So just two quick ones, because I want to come back around to Wheeler and what we wanted to talk about. And that's L.A. Mayor's Gil Garcetti.
Yes.
And another big, huge defunder. He actually started the defunding, taking $110 million away from the LAPD budget, which is ridiculous. And then finally, Albuquerque Mayor Tim Keller. And
yes.
I believe Keller, though, has seen the light, and I believe he's actually requested President Trump to have federal authorities come into that town.
I'm not so sure that you're right about that.
You think
I'm
wrong?
About it.
Okay, but let's go back to Wheeler, and let's go back to the thread.
Okay.
So you've got these uber liberal people, supporters of Black Lives Matter movement, of Marxism.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. There's plenty more out there. You take cities like Baltimore and
Detroit.
Yeah,
I mean, we
Detroit
could go on.
Detroit is
and on.
Another one. Yeah. So this by no means is a full list.
Well, no, and I appreciate you saying that. But I will tell you, going back to our initial conversation, universally, I mean, with very few exceptions, it has been democratically run cities that have been out of control in their crime rates going astronomically through the roof. But here's the situation, and that's why I really wanted to have this conversation tonight, because the other night we watched, and it happened again today, Wheeler going out to meet with the protesters and them basically almost assaulting him and his security team. There was pushing, there was shoving, there were screams for him to resign. They were booing him. They were calling him all sorts of names. And literally the other night, I didn't watch the rest of the video that happened today, but the other night they literally chased him back into City Hall and he got tear gassed by his own police who were trying to help him.
Well, they're trying to control the crowd who are trying to attack
him. You don't want to lose the mayor, you know, not a good thing.
Well, but how did that feel, Mr. Wheeler? Because, you know, these people are not for you.
But see, here's the problem, Linda. And again, it's endemic with all these people. They don't see it. It's right in front of their face that what they are supporting is dangerous, is violent, is Marxist. They want to tear down the government. They just don't want to defund the police. They want to get rid of the police.
Yes.
They just don't want to have a chop zone. They want to take over the city of Portland. They want to take over the United States. And he's not seeing it. And they don't have a single problem throwing him under the bus, literally, and beating and assaulting him. And yet he continues. I don't know whether he's obtuse. I don't know whether he's a stupid man. But I do believe that he is what you said, and same with these other mayors, they are putting their own political ideology ahead of the safety and the welfare of the people in their individual cities.
And they don't want to admit that their political ideology is wrong, and they have a political fog in their brain that prevents them from seeing anything. Here's, you know, we've talked about this 100 times, and it always, for me, goes back around to the same point. These people could not be in these positions to cause this kind of chaos and damage to our American country without being voted in. So who are you Americans that are voting for people like this to think that somehow, somewhere, there is a Marxist or socialist government that is better than the system that we have in America? If you want that, then please go live there, because that is not what the rest of us want.
Well, you know, the other thing that really bothers me is, what the heck is going on with the silent majority? What about the business owners? What about the Chamber of Commerce? What about the Republican organizations? What about the clergy? What about the moderate Democrats? Where are you? Are you really serious about letting the beautiful town, city, downtown of Portland just go up in flames?
Both Portland and Seattle are beautiful cities, as is Chicago is a beautiful city, as is, well, I don't know so much about Los Angeles. I mean, I know a lot about Los Angeles, but I don't know that I think that it's a beautiful city. But people there certainly probably do. You named a lot of cities that have a lot of beauty to them, and it's all being destroyed. But again, this didn't happen overnight, Ron.
Oh, no.
This has been long coming. I'm going to get you a cup of coffee, and I'm going to refill my Bailey's coffee.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to switch from coffee to iced tea.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news, you can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Talking about this, and it's kind of the same conversation. We see the problem. I'm sure most Americans see the problem. President Trump took in one day, he got donations of $20 million. He blew Biden away on the donations. So people are quietly speaking with their donations and their money. And it's always been the situation, Ron, where the Republicans don't, we don't riot. Okay, we don't get out and protest. Normally, we're raising our families and we're working and we are the people that are, you know, making the engine of America work. That's who we are. These people that you see out on the streets rioting and burning and looting, these are not representative of the working families of America. These are representatives of George Soros. These are representatives of spoiled university kids that have been brainwashed by professors, and these are kids that just have been raised in that entitled type parenting that we did in the last few eras of raising kids. These are not the kids that got their butts spanked when they did things wrong. These are not the kids that went to church. These are not the kids that were taught the value of a dollar and the value and the ethic of work. These are not those kids.
Well, let me ask you a question. You've sort of alluded to the fact in talking about donations. You sort of alluded to the fact that the silent majority is using their pocketbooks to vote, right? I mean, if you tell me that Trump got $20 million in a day.
A day.
All right. But here's the problem that I have with this. And congratulations that President Trump is, you know, getting a good campaign coffer. However, he has to be able to use it, right? That's number one. But number two, and more importantly, is don't forget, the vast majority of the problems that we have in the United States right now are at the municipal level and at the state level.
I agree.
They're not at the federal level.
I agree.
Okay, so what is going on in the municipalities, what is going on in state government has a tremendous influence on what happens in the presidential elections, okay? Because all these people, like you and I, you know, we live in an unincorporated area, but what happens in the city, in our county, absolutely affects us. It affects us as individuals, it affects us as business owners, it affects us as a family. What happens in the state of Texas affects us and all of our neighbors and all of our friends that live, friends and family, that live in Texas. And so you could just take Texas and extrapolate that to California, to Oregon, to Washington, to Wyoming, to Delaware, to, you know, Washington, D.C., to Florida. I mean, you can bounce all over the country. What I'm worried about is at the municipal level, the people vote in both municipal elections and they vote in federal elections. And just recently, there was a poll, and I take polls with a grain of salt. I'm not a big poll person because it's all about the methodology and the, you know, prefacing questions before you ask what you want to ask. 54% believe that America is a systemically racist country.
And you know what?
And
if
where
I never hear that
and,
word
and
again,
where the heck does that come
if
from?
If I never hear that stupid word
systemically, right?
It's stupid. It means nothing. It sounds like it means something.
Well,
I'm
going to tell you what I think it means when they say it. That means that every facet, systemic, every single system in American society is inherently racist.
Really? So then I guess that all the years that we had affirmative action, that was racist against white people. I mean, come on. We were so far ahead of where we are today before Obama became president. We were so far ahead in race relations in this country. He, in my opinion, took us back. He and Biden took us back.
Oh, 50 years.
50 years.
And I don't think, of course, our Democratic friends and colleagues would be aghast at that, because he's looked upon Obama.
Because they're
looked
not,
upon as
they're
being
looking
a god.
Through political fog glasses.
Well, they are. They're looking through a different prism than you and I are. We found that the Obama-Biden administration was one of the most divisive, racially divisive,
yes,
and segregationist and racist administrations that we had. And what I mean by that is they deliberately separated the races. They race baited. They presented things, small things, and they made them huge, huge things. And look at what is carried on today. Look at this whole issue of reparations. Look at, I mean, none of the people, and I was just reading an article about Ashland, North Carolina. And the city has decided that they are going to give reparations,
right,
to blacks. And I did the statistics on that. And as I recall, Ashland has 92,800 people, of which 11.7% of that population are people of color, specifically blacks. And so the city has voted to give them monetary reparations.
But not to themselves. It is in the form of programs and things like that.
But none of those people experienced racism.
I understand. Well, we don't know if they
did.
I mean,
slavery.
We don't know if they experienced racism or not.
Slavery is what I meant.
You know, Ron, people can say, and I'm not saying racism doesn't exist. It does exist. It exists in all different forms against all different people. Okay, but behavior tends to be the problem. And what I mean by that is, if somebody is walking down the street, or somebody's, let's say that somebody's in a liquor store and a white guy walks in and he's going about buying his stuff, and a black guy walks in and he's got a hoodie on and you know, starts shoving stuff in his pockets, who am I going to be afraid of? Not because he's black, but because of the behavior. On the reverse of that, if the reverse is true, okay, if a black man walks in and he goes about his business and he's buying things, and a white guy walks in and he's got a hoodie on and he starts shoving stuff, I am equally going to be afraid of that white guy. Not one more than the other. It is the behavior. So if somebody on the outside was looking at me, they would say, "You're just racist against that black guy." No, I'm racist, and I'm not even racist at all.
Oh, you're racist.
I know. I'm behavior racist. Okay, I'm racist.
Would you not string those two words together?
It's the behavior of the people that caused the reaction.
Thank
it
you.
Is not the color of people's skin, and I'm so tired of hearing that. But our media pounds that in our head and makes us feel guilty for any feeling of fear that we have for anybody.
Don't you think that's by design?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm really concerned about, and I think what you are trying to say is that...
Not very well, by the way.
Well, that's okay. You know, at least what I'm hearing from you, okay, is that in various segments of American society, there are racist people, or people, I don't want to use the word racist, I'd say there are people that are prejudiced against other people for a variety of reasons.
Yes,
okay?
And
that's human behavior, and it's inappropriate, but it is human behavior. But it is shared, I think you would agree with me, that it is shared by all races, colors, creeds, religions. Right? Correct. I mean, we can talk about the Jews and the Palestinians. We can talk about the Catholics and the Protestants. We can talk about the blacks and the whites and the Hispanics and the Chinese. And we can talk about the Native American Indians, yada, yada, yada. Everybody has got some concern about some other person.
And I'm going to disagree with you in this point. You're saying that it's not right. I think it's perfectly right. I think it's human nature to have prejudices against some things. It doesn't mean you have to act on them. It doesn't mean that you have to be vocal about them, but it is just human nature. Even little kids in a schoolyard just automatically might not like another little kid. I'm sorry. I see you shaking your head. Our dog doesn't like all dogs. So, you know, come on. It's human nature to have feelings about different things for different reasons. Most of it being behavior oriented.
Okay. So I'm almost thinking that Dr. Ron and Linda are having their first talking while married argument ever, but I disagree with you in one respect. Behavior, because it is human nature, that doesn't make it right. That's what I'm saying. Just because, wait a minute.
People are not that perfect. You are striving for perfection in people. That,
no, I'm
it
not.
Can't happen.
I am not striving for protection from people.
We woke the dog up.
Well, that's okay. That's not what I'm striving for. I'm striving for universal respect, universal understanding, universal tolerance. But at the same time, I do believe, as you do, that when people don't like other people, it is not because in the vast majority, of course, like we said, there's always going to be someone who's racist or anti-religionist or anti-Semitic or whatever, you know, but by and large, it is behavior oriented. Like you said, you got the white guy in the store shoving stuff in his pockets, or the black guy in the store shoving stuff in his pockets and stealing. The thing that concerns you is not the color of the individuals, it's the behavior.
Exactly.
And so I get that. And so I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem against implicit or confirmation bias absent behavior.
I agree
okay?
with you. And I agree
because
with you.
Because then that's prejudice.
I agree with your terms about tolerance. I don't have to like everybody in life. I don't have to, because people are all different, and some people don't have the same values as I have. Not that mine are better, just different. Okay. But I do have the responsibility to respect them and to treat them respectfully and tolerantly.
Okay.
And just avoid them if I don't want to be around them. But to have us all called out, especially this whole new thing where white people are bad and we're all white supremacists and we're all, they've got all kinds of labels for us. I so disagree with that. Nobody has the right to label everybody like that.
Linda, would you agree that the vast majority of people do not believe in the rhetoric that we're hearing? Would you not agree? I mean, the vast majority of black people that I know do not feel that way. They don't speak that rhetoric. They don't feel that way. They get along great, and
I get along great.
We have a lot of friends of different races and cultures and religions.
I agree, okay? But I will say that even those people, and often us too, are made to question ourselves and feel guilty over something that we are not even doing because we are told that we are doing it.
Yes, point well taken. Absolutely, point well taken. My fear is that as this continues on, this whole class warfare, this whole race warfare that's going on, the way they're trying to foment it, right?
Foment.
Thank you for helping me with that. As they're trying to make it.
Yep.
it's going to cause people that heretofore had not had second thoughts about other people, I think they're going to start questioning other people where they didn't do that.
Well,
and I think that's the damage to this country. Don't you agree?
I do. And the new words, and they just came out of Joe Biden's mouth, which couldn't make me angrier, is he called President Trump a racist. And with his history of butting up with the
Ku
Klux, whoever they
KKK.
Are, yeah, the KKK, And with we could talk about that for 5 minutes, about all of his former connections with people that were racist. To call President Trump that when he has done more for people of color in this country, certainly than the Obama administration, the Biden administration did, certainly more than any administration in probably history since Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. He has done more for every race, not just black, not just white, every race, every religion, everything, you name it. He has done more than any president in my memory, certainly, or probably in anybody else's. Yet their new terminology that they're throwing out so that it sticks is calling him a racist.
Yeah. And you know what, Linda, you're 100% right. And, you know, you brought up the fact that a very famous liberal from Los Angeles, Leo Terrell.
Yes.
Right. Very famous liberal, civil rights guy, big name in California. Now he's getting a little bit more of a national footprint. And I would say a leader in the black community with regards to civil rights litigation and things like that. He has completely turned against the Democrats as they are right now, and specifically Joe Biden. And he said that he's going to vote for Trump because Leo Terrell, although I disagree with his politics, I will say that he's not an ignorant man. All right. He's a very intelligent man, and he sees that what is happening in the Democratic Party is not the Democratic Party that people of our age grew up under.
Well, and he says that they were hijacked.
Yeah. And I see every time that Joe Biden opens up his mouth, I see him pandering to the new progressive left.
Yes.
I see him pandering to the Marxist socialists. And I see him pandering to the neo-national socialists that are trying to destroy this country.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because that is the very next subject that I want to talk with you about. But I'm going to get you another iced tea.
That sounds great.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, thanks for the iced tea.
You're welcome. Hey, so we've got this election coming up, and right now most of the polls still show Joe Biden leading President Trump by quite a bit, which just shocks me every day. But I think that people need to know a few things about Joe Biden, and there's lots and lots of things that we could talk about besides the many, many years he's been in public service in which he's done nothing to forward this country and a whole lot to line his and his family's pocket.
I think he's one of the oldest politicians out there. He's got about 47 years in political service.
But he has done exactly what you said, which is move way to the left in order to accommodate the Bernie Sanders group and get those votes and so forth. So, I mean, if you have morals and ethics and a road forward for America, then that's the road you should take. You're not like a little pebble in the ocean going every which way. And that's what Joe Biden does. Well, there is a radical movement called the Great Reset. And that has been embraced by some Democrats. It's a very Marxist philosophy. And although Joe Biden has not yet endorsed it, he has endorsed parts of it so far. And if he were to jump in with both feet in order to appease people, this country would be in even bigger trouble than we think.
So what would that look like?
It is the biggest danger to capitalism and individual rights since the collapse of the Soviet Union. What is the Great Reset? Well, it's a growing movement backed by many of the world's most powerful business leaders, government officials, left-wing activists. They want to do what Hillary did and push the reset button on the global economy. It would destroy our capitalist system and replace it with a progressive system and socialist system with emphasis on eco-socialist policies like those contained in Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal.
Is this the One World, One Order movement that I wrote about in the Black Lives Matter book?
I would imagine it's related, but it's not called that. Because you know when a name goes bad for Soros, he just changes the name.
Right.
Yeah. Every country from the United States to China in the Great Reset would have to participate. And every industry from oil to gas to tech would be transformed. They want a reset of capitalism in this movement. And some of the things that are in there are income programs, universal health care, tax increases, massive tax increases, and the Green New Deal, which he has already said that he supports. People should be afraid, very, very afraid of this. Some people, like Prince Charles in England, are leading the campaign for a Great Reset.
Which is seriously, with all the money that the monarchy has.
Yep. Again, I don't think people really understand the damage that they would be doing. They want to end the era of shareholder capitalism, and it would alter how companies are evaluated. It would elevate social justice causes, climate change concerns, and property rights.
I got a question in regards to this comment that you're making on one of the goals and objectives about shareholder ownership. Is this group saying that they want to get rid of shareholders for corporations?
They are opponents of shareholder capitalism, and they say that companies should be forced to focus on stakeholders, which is just another way of saying the collective.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, as I said, it's something to be very, very worried about.
Because
Biden has embraced large parts of this already.
Because that's a redistribution of wealth,
absolutely.
Right? Because that's a Marxist
yep,
philosophy.
It is.
And
absolutely.
A goal and objective is redistribution. So that makes a lot of sense.
Biden has already done, and you can go on Biden's website and check me out what I'm saying. He's got a Build Back Better proposal, which would, and I quote, launch a national effort aimed at creating the jobs we need to build a modern, sustainable infrastructure now and deliver an equitable, clean energy future. His proposal wants to replace with renewable energy sources like wind and solar. They want to take away the modern energy that we already use.
So that means our fossil fuels, that means our oils, that means our petrochemicals.
Yes, and he wants the entire electric grid to go green by 2035,
and of course,
which would have a catastrophic effect.
And of course, they want to denuclearize power, right? So no nuclear generators anywhere in the United States. Okay. They want to basically do what I believe France did, and I think France had like 42 nuclear power generators, nuclear power plants, and I believe they got rid of all of them. I could be wrong, but I think it was France or a country very close to France. So they just want to do what? Wind and solar and hydroelectric? That's it?
Everything green.
Wow.
So they're using the COVID-19 to say that they can't put things back together the way that they were, so we need to build it back better and reset. And that's what they're saying. So people, again, have to be very careful about falling for this, because everybody would have to invest in low carbon solutions that create new jobs. Companies would be prioritizing investments in technologies, products and services that create more jobs and reduce emissions. I mean, everything is about this whole climate thing. So it's a very Marxist proposal. The Great Reset is very, very Marxist. And Joe Biden has already, like I said, he has embraced and endorsed large parts of this. I truly believe that he would come out and endorse the rest. But here's the interesting thing. The actual rollout of this happens in January 2021. So after the election, after we already know who's going to be president, the World Economic Forum is going to be meeting in Switzerland with left-wing activists from 400 cities around the world to tear down the modern capitalistic economy, and Biden seems to be going all in on it. We really need to pay attention to this.
Well, the other thing that I think is pretty darn scary, and maybe we'll get to it, is Biden's relationship with China.
Well, and I want to talk about that too, but first I do want to say that the information that I just relayed to you, I got from Justin Haskins, who is an editor-in-chief of StoppingSocialism.com. And you can go on his site and you can take a look at StoppingSocialism.com and take a look at these, the facts that I just gave you. I do want to mention China. So actually, we're thinking along the same lines because I didn't tell you what I was going to talk about tonight. But
well, that's because this is a non-scripted coffee conversation.
So the former deputy national security advisor, who I love and respect, KT McFarland, was talking about our relationship with China. And one of the questions asked was, you know, are we going to get into a cold war with China? And she says, are you kidding me? We've been in a cold war for years.
I completely agree.
Back in 2017, what a lot of people don't know is that China actually made a law that if you are a Chinese company, a Chinese citizen, anywhere in the world, anywhere, you must do what the Chinese military and intelligence community tell you to do. So if you are a student in college at one of our universities in the U.S., and they get a hold of you and say, you will spy, you will do this and this, you must do it. That is the law in China. So this applies to all the companies, all the technology.
Oh,
and
God.
You know what it brings to mind is the man that was handling the PERS money for the police officers in California and funneling money back to China.
Right. That was a huge scandal a couple of years ago. And look at what's going on right now. You know, obviously we're in Texas. Look what the heck is going on in Houston right now.
Well, that's
right?
What brought this whole conversation up.
Oh, okay.
Is the reason China uses their consulates for huge amounts of spying.
Well, sure, everybody does.
Yeah,
everybody does.
But they got caught at some particularly egregious things. But the Chinese, they know that they can, you know, do cyber attacks. They buy weapons attacks, intellectual property attacks. They buy up our United States properties. They take advantage of our property laws here in the United States.
You know, you're absolutely right. And there's a huge difference between how the United States government or State Department, handles Chinese citizens in the United States, as opposed to how the People's Republic of China handles American citizens that are in China, right? I mean, like, we have a free society, so Chinese citizens can pretty much go anywhere that they want to go,
right?
They can go to universities and study. They can do this. They can do that. They can work in biochemical, you know, in pharmaceutical companies and do all of that stuff. Americans cannot do that in China, and they're followed all over the place, right? So, you know, it's not a quid pro quo by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, and KT McFarland is one of the first people that I truly respect and who has the knowledge as national security advisor to have said that this COVID is and was a bioweapon unleashed by China. And now the DOJ has just charged the Chinese with hacking, trying to steal our COVID-19 research as well.
I think they have two Chinese people, both in biochemicals and pharmaceuticals, that they've indicted for theft of international property and espionage. One, I think, remains inside the consulate. The other one skedaddled. They concealed him. And I believe he's in the consulate up in San Francisco.
Right, that's what I heard.
Okay.
So the thing is, again, we're talking about Joe Biden, the thought of him becoming president. He has been in bed with China more than anybody that I can think of, other than perhaps John Kerry.
Well, and his son, Hunter
and
Biden.
His son,
right?
Yeah, because of Joe.
Exactly.
So we cannot afford to do what we need to do. And President Trump is the very first president to really understand the threat that China has brought to America and to fight back against it, which he's been doing his whole presidency. And it's tough, but he's been doing it. So we seriously, at this point in time, Ron, it is absolutely critical, I believe, to America, and I think that you agree, to get our manufacturing back home, to start making our own PPEs, to start making our own auto parts, our own tech parts that we need, and our medicines, get the medicines and the pharmaceuticals out of there, because they will hold that over us and we just will absolutely be in a big mess here. This is a time that we need to continue the Trump administration, to my mind, if for nothing else, for those reasons, because Biden will not do this.
Well, you know, going back 50 years ago in the days of Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger, who was our ambassador to China, if you remember, you know, he was our State Department guy, but our ambassador to China, you know, Richard Nixon said that we had to be very, very wary of China. And he said, the United States must do everything that it possibly can, ethically and professionally, to force changes in China, or we would have to contend with China in much more serious levels. And so if you take a look at what is happening in China and how China is extending its influence out throughout the world, you take a look at their militarization of the South China Sea. You take a look at, as you indicated, Linda, the theft of intellectual property to the tune of $500 and something billion a year. And that's just on thefts and hacking and stealing things. Basically, their entire military operation and their air force was stolen from plans from the United States, the way they build their ships, the way they build their jet fighters, their bombers, everything is stolen from the United States. The technical things such as computers and cell phones and everything has all been pilfered from the intellectual property of the United States. Look at what they're doing in Hong Kong, the special zone there where they're trying to assert, influence and basically turn that into China, go sideways on the deal that they made with the British, you know, back in 1997.
Absolutely. I feel so bad for Hong Kong.
And you indicated, you know, in biochemicals and pharmaceuticals and trade. So, and then we have on top of that, the dishonest behavior with regards to COVID, which is a biochemical warfare mechanism that, you know, snuck out of their lab.
Yeah, it's not just dishonest. It is, you know, this was said by the Chinese and by one of their main generals umpteen years ago in a speech that this is what they planned to do. This was the best way for them to look to have world dominance. And they absolutely, in my opinion, I don't know if you study the history of this, How do you come to any other conclusion?
You know, I think, and you and I have talked about this in a couple of prior conversations, that is, and I'm going to steal the rhetoric from our previous discussion about reset. We need to have a reset button with China, and we need to completely change the paradigm of our relationship with that country. And I don't mean aggressiveness. I'm talking about America needs to protect America.
We need to be smart. We need to think as strategically as they are thinking.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you what, Joe Biden can't think to string a sentence together. He is not going to be able to do this, nor do they have the will to do it.
You know, the Chinese are playing the long game. They've got the patience, and they can wait it out and disrupt the economy of the United States, disrupt the government of the United States. Look what they're doing with trade. And then I think it's more than coincidental that Trump comes in with phase one of the United States-China trade deal, which begins to get us on a level playing field with China, where we recover the $500 billion a year plus that we lose to China every single year. And China is absolutely angry about this and is plotting to basically overthrow that trade agreement.
They unleashed a virus on the world. And they have profited by that virus more than anybody in the world because they make the PPE. They've got these poor people that they've got locked up and blindfolded manufacturing PPE in plants, basically, you know, under protest and under lock and key as prisoners. So, you know, I want to mention one more thing real quick, just because it's news. Again, and this is the third time in a row, that the Democratic leaders have rejected the $1 trillion coronavirus stimulus plan that was presented to them by the Senate.
I think that I saw something today where Nancy Pelosi is offering a $3 trillion stimulus package. I mean, come on. I mean, that is absolutely crazy.
Because if they do that, they have the excuse to raise taxes
far,
far more.
Absolutely.
There is nothing that she does that isn't totally calculated and dangerous.
And he's already, meaning Biden, Biden's already, you know, put it out on the table that if he's elected president of the United States, he's going to raise taxes significantly. And I think we need to worry about that. And I think we need to worry throughout the United States about having our taxes raised to fund some of these things that are just ridiculous. I get the whole stimulus thing. We've participated in the stimulus thing. Both of our business have participated in the stimulus packages. But I think everybody, it is to everybody's best interest to be very, very careful about this stimulus money and not get America so underwater that we leave that substantial debt to our grandchildren, our children and our grandchildren. I just think that that's unconscionable to do something like
that. Well, I do too, but if we don't have an America, I worry about that. Hey, let's tell people how they can, first of all, buy your best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Everybody should know the information in that book. It is unbiased. It is simply forensic facts, and it will open your eyes to a whole world that you didn't know existed.
And you know what? It's a non-opinionated book, and you know, we get to visit our fulfillment center, and we look at the orders and some of the letters and things that we get. They say, hey, I want to buy that book, not only for myself, but to give it to my liberal friends that need an education. And so they can get that book by going onto the site at dronmartinelli.com. That's drronmartinelli.com. And if you need me to personalize the book and you need me to sign it, just, you know, send me an email on that site and we can take care of that for you.
And I'm just going to make one last suggestion. People, go on to AmericaOutloud.com and really, really look at it now. The articles that are on the front page are just phenomenal. You can get so much information. There's an article about Dr. Fauci and his Democratic leanings. And there's lots of really great things. I was reading this today, and I was just amazed. So I don't have time to talk about all of it, but you have to go look. You have to, once you start reading something, you can't put it down.
Yeah, and you know, that's AmericaOutloud.com. And if you miss Dr. Ron and Linda Martinelli on Talking While Married, don't forget, we go to podcast 24/7. We're in the cloud. So that's AmericaOutloud.com. Ready to call it?
I'm ready.